Let's take our Bibles and look together once again in Jeremiah chapter 43 as we continue our reading through this prophet of old. And here we see now where Jeremiah himself, even though he had prophesied according to the word of the Lord that the remnant should stay in Judah and not fear Babylon. In other words, the worst was already over because he had already come and destroyed Jerusalem as God had said. And so now as the land laid waste, the people were not to seek other refuge but to stay there and wait upon the Lord. But as we saw last time, there were those that insisted that they should go down into Egypt. Egypt at that particular time was a power. And you know, as people do, they think, well, there's protection there, there's security. So we'll leave this desolate land and go down into Egypt. And the Lord said, don't move, because if you do, I'll chase you down there. And you'll know the very death you sought to escape will find you there. But we see how the people revolted against Jeremiah. Like so many, even with our Lord Jesus Christ, they would not hear the word that he proclaimed. And so in verse 1 of chapter 43, we see where Jeremiah is literally taken captive by these and taken into Egypt. It came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, not his own words, it says all the words of the Lord their God. Whether they owned him as their God or not, he was still their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. The Lord had sent Jeremiah to them for their good, but they found fault with his message and therefore despised him. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. These were ones of the remnant that had remained and not been taken into captivity, and they were governors of the people. But you can see they were proud men. That's what causes people not to hear the word of the Lord. It's the pride and depravity of the heart. But they said unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn here. Well, how many gods are there? They were saying the Lord our God is telling us to go into Egypt. He's not saying go not into Egypt to sojourn there. And so Barak, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. This Barak was one of Jeremiah's scribes, if you will. He had even been used of the Lord to write certain portions of the scripture that we have. So they not only accused Jeremiah of speaking falsely, but accused Barak of setting Jeremiah against them, or them against Jeremiah. He setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So their thinking was, if we stay here, he's going to come back and take us again, so we're better off going into Egypt. I'll tell you, when men take their stand against the word of God, they're going to take their stand against anybody that proclaims the word. I've often said that people today, since they can't get their hands on Christ, they're going to put their hands around the neck of one of his preachers that declares him faithfully. And certainly this is the case here with Jeremiah. And so they accused Barak of having set Jeremiah against them, and therefore God against them. So in verses 4 through 7, Johanan, the son of Korah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. See, this is the foolishness of man's depraved heart, thinks that he knows better and that they can find safety in a false refuge. But Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah. So these are the ones that had been left in the land and that were returned from all nations. These were some that had been driven away but had come back to dwell in the land after Nebuchadnezzar had ravaged the land. And whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters. And every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak, the son of Neriah. So here they grouped Jeremiah, Barak, all these together with these that they took by force to carry them back into Egypt. And so they went into Egypt, it says in verse 7. Even the Lord had said, don't go down there. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Taphanes. Now Taphanes was in the southern region of Egypt. The Greeks called it Daphne, but it was in the lower part of Egypt that they brought them, thinking somehow the further they penetrated into Egypt, the safer they would be. You see how this is a picture of people today that seek their own refuge, whereas God has said it's in his son, it's in the work of his son that he's accomplished, that there's safety, there's refuge. And to stay there, to stay in the land is a picture of what it is to stay in Christ. But these sought their own way. They thought they would be better off going their own way like so many do today. And so they took Jeremiah with them, thinking somehow they could influence how God would deal with them, even though it was a false refuge. I tell you, God is God. And there's only one refuge that he's ordained for sinners, and that's in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other refuge, it doesn't matter how safe a person may think they are or feel, they're in condemnation apart from being in Christ. And so in verse 8, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Taphanes, saying, so they figured dragging him captive, maybe the Lord would stop speaking through him, but he kept speaking. You can bind the prophet, but you can't bind the word. Even Paul, when he was in prison, you stop and think about most of his epistles that he wrote was from prison. They bound him thinking somehow to bind the word. You can't bind the word. And so the Lord said, take great stones in thine hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Taphanes. So here was Pharaoh of Egypt. He had some kind of summer house here in Taphanes, but to take these large stones and put them in the entry of Pharaoh's house in Taphanes, in the sight of the men of Judah. So this very place where they went to hide out, now the Lord sends Jeremiah out to gather some huge stones and put them in front of Pharaoh's house. What was the Lord doing? Blocking the way. Here their hope and confidence at this time was in Pharaoh, and thought that somehow Pharaoh might be able to protect them from Nebuchadnezzar should he come into the land. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You're not just saying thus saith God, but look at the words here. So thus saith the Lord of hosts. He's the sovereign God. His will cannot be thwarted. Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones. So when he was piling up those stones in front of Pharaoh's house, it was the Lord saying that that's going to become the throne of Pharaoh one day. They thought by escaping to Egypt they would be free from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's throne. They thought they'd be free from him, but here the Lord says, I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. Here again we see that God is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Men rule. The Lord puts them up and sets them down according to his will and purpose. And there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And that's still true today. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. Everybody, I was talking to somebody, it's like someone's taken a stick and poked it into an ant pile and people scattering all over, but it's the Lord doing his will, accomplishing his purpose. And so this very place where they ran thinking somehow to find refuge, the Lord said, I'm going to pursue you there. And it's going to be this very same king of Babylon who will come. And when you read the history of what took place, literally 20 years after this particular prophecy is when the Lord raised up Nebuchadnezzar again to come down into Egypt and to subdue Egypt. Jerusalem was destroyed right around 597 B.C. before Christ, and there are actually inscriptions and records, fragmentary records in the history that say that Nebuchadnezzar invaded Egypt about 20 years after this, and the attack, according to the records, was more of a punitive expedition. He didn't go into the land to try to take Egypt, but he went in to punish Egypt. And so the word came to pass exactly as God said. It always does. And when he cometh, this is what the Lord said, so this is what would take place 20 years later. He shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. The Lord's sovereign. He determines not only who dies, but how they'll die. And not one can escape. He said, I will kindle a fire in the houses of God, of the gods of Egypt. See, that's what this was all about as well. It was a false hope. They thought by going down that somehow the gods of Egypt would be more powerful than the gods of Babylon, and they sought refuge in these false gods. Well, they're all nothing but little G-O-D-S's. There's only one sovereign God over all who rules and reigns. And so he said, he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. Here again we see God leading his own. He'd once delivered his people out of Egypt before, and here he is again leading out his own from Egypt, who had gone down thinking somehow to find refuge there. And he shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. He did that when he delivered them the first time. Those plagues that Moses was sent to bring against Egypt were all against these gods. And yet man left to himself, what's he going to do? Go right back and rebuild them. Here we find the same Egyptian gods that these were worshiping, and others being deceived into thinking somehow they could find protection. They didn't learn from history. The only protection is in the Lord God himself and in the salvation that he's purposed through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Other than that, it's nothing but condemnation. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word as we continue to read it, that we be moved in our own hearts to know that you are God and there is none else. I pray that you would make us attentive to your word, because we know in ourselves we would be just like these, going our own way. prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love, or the one that has loved me. And so, as we've read this, may our eyes ever be upon your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is salvation. Apart from him, there is none. And I pray that you would keep us from every false way and every false hope, that we'd rest in your word and all that you teach us concerning yourself here. And we're mindful to give you the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's precious name. Amen.